What's up, everyone? After spending most of the first part of the year struggling and disappointed and, you know, trying to figure out how to spin positive on this team, we're actually on a nice run. And it was, again, this weekend. New Mexico comes on into Championship Soccer Stadium. Orange County gets the 3 points. And now we head on to a very important road match against the enemies down in San Diego. We're here to talk about that, the New Mexico match, plus much more. Let's get this thing started. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora, and I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Let's see who's helping me out this episode. First, from the wonderful land of Las Vegas, we've got Brad. How are we doing, Brad? How are you feeling? I mean, this is a good time to be an Orange County fan this season.
Yeah, you could say just like right south of us in Vegas right now, it's quite fire. Not mentioning the York fire that is bringing smoke to Las Vegas like every summer up in Reno.
There we go. All right, we're learning things about fires and stuff in Nevada. Also helping me out is the bearded one himself, Mr. Larry. Look at Larry's put together a little bit of a background here. I think he was getting jealous of your decorations there, Brad.
Absolutely. I mean, look at that. Brad's got all kinds of going on. I'm feeling like a basic you know what right now in comparison to Brad. I mean, I just threw this stuff up on a wall and this is how it landed. But man, forget about my background. Let's talk some Orange County Soccer Club soccer and let's raise a glass to these boys because oh, are they looking good right now? Cheers, gentlemen. And all you listeners out there, raise your glasses. Orange County Soccer Club is on fire.
So we're going to start calling you Pink from now on, Larry, because we're raising our glasses to that. Let's get it. Larry does not get that reference at all. He has no idea what I just said. It's a song by Pink called Raise Your Glass. Listen to it.
I will Google it.
Let's do this. Let's get into this amazing. Like I said in the intro, a lot of the season, we were sort of struggling on ways to talk about this team without, you know, continuously bashing and continuously being critical of the performances that we've been seeing. And now they're on a great run, arguably, or probably can say no argument, the hottest team in the USL, especially in the Western Conference right now with their run of form. I think one loss in the last six or even seven matches, I can't remember. And another great performance. They did what they had to do. New Mexico had some opportunities. There was a couple great saves by Colin Shuttler. Orange County had some opportunities early in the match, didn't get a goal, but lo and behold, they kept pushing, they kept pressing. And I think we've talked about this before is the subs come in and they bring speed, they bring aggressiveness, and they do that against a tired New Mexico team in this case, and we get a goal out of it. Let me go to you, Brad. Overall thoughts on this match. How impressed were you with this performance from Orange County?
I'm more impressed with just the first half alone. You know, Milan got robbed of a wonderful deflected ball that easily should have been a goal. Tim Backus made a great save there. The second half of the game, New Mexico, I think, really came to play and really put Orange County's defense to the test. And I have to give credit to the defense. You know, they, although dealing with a lot of pressure, they did not give too many clean looks on the goal. And like you said, young substitutes, Jameson found Milan wide open for a birthday goal. And you can't be disappointed about the end result. I think a win was always in the books, given how the team played, especially the first half. And lucky to keep a clean sheet, too.
Let me hear a few from you, Larry. I believe, were you at the match, right?
I wasn't. I was out on a baseball field all day, and I was burnt out by the time I got home. So I wasn't able to make it last night, but I was Saturday. But I was watching from home, and just let me I'll just go off a few notes that I took during the game. Brad's 100% correct, and him and I talked about this offline. New Mexico was dominant in the second half. There's no question whatsoever. However, they were not dominant enough to break through and score a goal against us, and that was massive. In the first half of the game, we picked apart their press, and they were pressing right from the get-go. And it looked like OCSC was having no problem whatsoever breaking through that press. Alex Tambakis, I don't hate him, but I hate Greek food, and I hate when he's between the pipes against us because, man, that guy's good, and he stops goals right and left and left and right and center. And he had another very good game against us, but we managed to get that one goal on them. Kyle Scott, after a brilliant performance here on the podcast last week, he was even more brilliant for the first 35, 40 minutes on that pitch last night. Absolutely just tore New Mexico apart every time he touched the ball. Shuttler was looking much, much more comfortable with the ball at his feet, which I'm very excited about. That was something that made us all a little bit nervous. And yeah, this was just a great performance from a team that is hitting its stride right now, and it's so much fun to see. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you, both of you, on this. Orange County was more dominant in the first half. New Mexico had their chances in the second half, couldn't break through. Great defense from this team, and great job by Colin Shuttler. I think we were talking about this too, is the tactical substitutions by Coach Carlson are really working for Orange County right now. And I think there is a definite method to what he's doing with these substitutions, bringing on young, athletic, pacey players later in the match when the other team's defense is going to be exhausted from running up and down the pitch all match long. And one of those key ones, Bryce Jamison in this match, who set up Milan Alosky for the game winner. Our friend John Morrissey, if you don't follow him on Twitter, USL Tactics, he even broke down this match. And one of the things he's pointing out is the speed and pace of Bryce Jamison is what basically opens up that goal. Now, you watch the replay, slight chance he might have been offsides, but maybe not. I'm seeing shaking heads. It's a weird camera angle when you look at it. He did, if you watch smartly, he held up right when that pass is getting ready to be made. I think if he continues that run, regardless if he's offside or not, the assistant ref is going to raise the flag. But because he held up right before that pass is made smartly, he didn't get flagged for offside. And even though his pass is deflected or touched by the New Mexico defender, that's what you teach players from a very young age. Get the ball in front of the net. Anything can happen. In this case, it gets deflected, but not enough to impact the target, which is Milan Alosky. And in that situation, that's a goal that Milan Alosky is making 99% of the time, if not 100% of the time. Amazing tactics and setup from the team. Credit New Mexico for adjusting what they were doing in the second half and making it tough on Orange County. But Orange County, again, doing what they have to do to get the win. And let me ask you this. This is very eerily looking a lot like the championship season, a coach change, starting a strong run and, you know, towards the middle to late part of summer, just things starting to go really well. What are your thoughts? Should we sort of be looking at this could be another year of a championship, or is it too early? I'll go to you first, Larry, because you're making a hand gesture there. Go for it.
You know, from the time Chaplo took over to the end of the season in the championship, it's only a little bit longer than what Morton's been in charge right now. So, yeah, it's looking eerily similar. However, that charge was made back in 2021 in September. We are not quite yet. We are a month away from really, really calling this a strong run to the finish line. And, you know, you always want the team that's going to win the championship isn't always going to be the best team, as proven in 2021. OCSC was not the best team, but they are the team that got hot at the right time. we are hot right now, incredibly hot, like absolutely smoking hot, praying that we do not peak too soon. I would rather see a team go on a 8-game winning streak or win 7 out of 8 the last 2 months of the year than in the middle 2 months of the year. So although we look great and I am much more optimistic than I was 60 days ago, cautiously optimistic at this point.
Brad?
Yeah, this team playing very well. I just think comparatively to where we were in the 2021 season, I think the West Coast Conference has gotten leaps and bounds better. Just like Orange County has been better this season, the West Coast as a whole is a lot better top bottom. You're looking, we're, I think, what, 4 or 5 points out of third place. And a lot of those teams in between us and there are really, really, oh, we're 3 points, sorry. A lot of the other teams there, Oakland, San Antonio, Sacramento, San Diego, Phoenix is looking good again. The West Coast is wide open this season, and one bad game could be the difference of being a home team or being out of the playoffs all entirely.
I get that. I do get that. And, you know, a couple bad games and we're back, you know, sitting at 11th in the standings. Obviously 12th is sort of out of reach at this point because of the amazing team that's sitting down there that Brad is close to there in Vegas. But also a couple big wins and you're looking at potentially moving up into a top three spot. And Orange County is facing one of those teams atop of them this coming weekend in San Diego. We're going to talk about that match. Do you have a hero of the match? I'm going to go to you first there. A hero of this match. I'm not saying the man of the match, the best performance, but who was the hero for you for Orange County?
For me, the hero, Bryce Jameson. That pass that he made to Milan was just absolutely ridiculous. Eye of a needle, threading it at just about full speed, as he does, because he's so incredibly fast. I mean, a quarter of an inch to the left with that pass, and it's a 0-0 ball game. Milan does not get his foot on that ball, and we end up getting 1 point instead of three. So, yeah, right. I mean, look at him running right there. He's just going full bore and just, I mean, come on. Thread the needle, brilliant pass, great finish from Milan, but hero of the match, I'm going with Bryce for that pass.
Let me just jump on this really quick from you, Larry. And nothing against Milan, but I think if the roles are reversed in that situation, it's a shot on target from Milan not making the pass to Bryce, right? And yeah, it's
absolutely
a good chance of a goal there, but it's not the easiest shot to take from that angle, especially with the way the New Mexico goalkeeper was playing all match. It was the right decision by Bryce to cross the ball to a teammate, knowing that it's going to sort of put the goalie out of a bad position. The defense isn't going to be in the right position. I like that choice from you, Larry. Brad, do you have a different hero from the match, or do you agree with Larry?
No, I have a different hero of the match, and my hero wasn't on the playing field per se. My hero is going to be Morten Carlsen. If he's not up for, if not the manager of the month of July, I don't know who else you could give it to. Maybe you could give it to Quill from New Mexico, but he just lost to Orange County, and this team plays different under Morten Carlsen. He seems to be making smarter subs. The team's has a plan for their opposition and an identity of how they want to attack. This isn't your old Orange County where you're dominating possession for 65-70% of a match. This is a team that's going to sit back, pick its spot, and then break you down on the counter with 40% of the possession and a whole lot less passing. But it's working, and that's Morten Carlsen's game.
I like that. That choice as well, Brad. I'm going to give you a weird random hero of the match this for me. Thomas Amang. That dude just got beat up over and over and over in the short bit of the game he was on. I think there was one where he took a shot to the head. Obvious should have been call, and I think it was a no call, right? I believe it was a no call. They just stopped the play because of a head injury. And then also probably could have scored a clinching goal towards the end there, but was taken down by the defender. But the physicality of him really made a big impact also for the team in that second half when he came on. Didn't really get anything out of it, didn't get a goal out of it, didn't get any, you know, assist out of it. But I think part of him being in there, it's forcing, you could tell New Mexico was sort of focusing on him a lot more. And that's what I think left a player like Bryce Jamison a little bit more free to make a run, which I'm going to go probably that's part of Carlson's thought process in this. You bring in a Thomas Among against a tire team. The dude is built like a tank. He's also got some speed and he's going to take some attention from the other team, and it's going to open up lanes for a Milan Olasky, a Bryce Jamison, like we saw in this match. So I want to just give props to him because I felt bad for him after this match. Dude looked like he was just taking a beating and he just kept going. And he even picked up a yellow card because a phantom call. I don't, do you guys know what the call was? Could you tell what the call was when I think it was a throw in to him or something, and the ref called it, but it didn't look like there was anything there. And he was really upset about it. Brad, look,
dissent.
I think you have something.
Dissent. Just dissent. Well, what was the initial call?
What was the initial call? That's what I want to know.
He was given really a card upset. For dissent. Probably offside or something.
But I believe it was on a throw-in, which wouldn't be an offside. So that's why I was really confused. And I think that's why he was really, really upset. I understand that yellow card. You can't yell like that to the ref. But I think even the announcers were sort of confused on what the call was. I think they even made a comment about it. Like, they didn't really know what it was. Maybe a handball. But that's a – I wish, Larry, you were at the match because you were like – you would have been right there because it was right in front of CLC. You might have seen what happened. If any of our CLC people are actually listening – live, feel free to jump into the comments if you saw potentially what that call was for. Not the yellow card. We know that what that was for, but what he got upset about on a call, let us know. We talked about this on Twitter. On our Twitter, we sort of posted this question. I asked people to be honest. How many of you 2 months ago would have believed that we would have been in this spot? After this match, we were sitting fifth. Obviously, San Diego, Colorado Springs played the next day, and we were naturally going to bump down to sixth. But I'm going to ask you two. I'll go to you first, Brad. 2 months ago, did you honestly believe Orange County would be sitting fifth or sixth in the table at the end of the month, at the end of June, July?
No. However, I don't think anybody would have projected anybody to be this close to each other. Like I said, we're 3 points off of third, and the West Coast is, or the Western Conference is just built different right now.
The Western Conference. Get that right, Brad. Larry, honestly, did you think 2 months ago that we would be where we are on the table? Ashish Chadha knew. He believed.
Ashish Chadha knew, which is just absolute, complete, and total proof that these guys know more than we do. No. I was salty. I was angry. I was not Peter Positive. I was, the answer is no, just no, I didn't. But again, I'm so glad that they have turned it around. And I mean, you know, the house is full every weekend that we are having home games, and the crowd is loud. It's a very, very good time and a very good summer to be an Orange County Soccer Club fan.
Well, to keep this up, Orange County is going to have to get a win on the road in a hostile environment, sort of a rivalry here at this point. And we've got a competition of beers. I still think mine's the best here, but we've got our good friend, former host on our show, Mr. Alan Underwood. He's here joining us. A long time no see, Alan. How have you been?
Good. Things have been good.
I hear the dogs. The dogs are missing us.
The dogs are wanting to get in on this as well. Things are going pretty well. San Diego is glorious. I'm not looking forward to going back to Riverside full time during the week because it's hot up there, but things are going well down here. San Diego is playing just as well as Orange County is. So I'm really looking forward to this matchup because I do think it's a good yardstick for both teams to figure out kind of where they are in reality, right? Because San Diego is coming off of a gauntlet, and Orange County has been playing some teams that they definitely should be beating. And it's good to see them actually beating those teams because in the past that always hasn't been the case. So it's good to see Orange County playing up to where we all thought they would be at the beginning of the season.
So I'm going to give you a fair warning here. One of your former co-hosts on the San Diego pod you used to do, Mr. Chris Walker, sort of came in with that same thought of, hey, New Mexico is also playing pretty well right now, so don't count them out. And we all saw what happened this past weekend at Championship Soccer Stadium. What's been going? How have things been going? I obviously, Orange County fans are going to recognize a familiar name He's been contributing to San Diego's play this season. That's Ronaldo Dámas. Let us know how he's been doing, and what other players are the ones that are dangerous for Orange County this weekend?
Yeah, maybe not as good as people might have hoped. He's, you know, slowly coming in. He's a guy off the bench. You mentioned earlier in the show, you're putting some speed guys on when the defense is tired. That's how Nate Miller's been using Ronaldo as of late, is as a swap out for Evan Conway. You run one guy out until the defense gets tired. You run the second guy out. He did score yesterday on a really nice play from a newcomer. You might know him as Enoch Mushagalusa from Lou City. I believe he likes to be called Matiti now. He's been a nice little addition. San Diego's been struggling with injury bug, and they had several really good players not be available for a chunk of time. Charlie Adams has been out. He's back. Ebenezer Akon has been out all season. He might be back at the end of the season. Colin Martin's seen some time out. Joe Corona has seen some time out. So there's been quite a pretty decent turnover in who is playing. But a lot of these offensive, I don't say juggernauts, that's a little overselling it. A lot of these offensive players are starting to come back. Healthy Evan Conway. We saw Charlie, Joe, and Colin play in that midfield, which makes for a very strong and savvy midfield. Adrian Perez has probably been the star of the season as far as a newcomer is concerned. He's played on the wing. Nick Moon is pretty much out for the season, and Adrian Perez has stepped in and has been a wonderful, wonderful player for San Diego. He's really good on the ball. He comes from the indoor, so his on-ball movement is very, very good. Some names that have been playing pretty well of late, Tumi Moshabani, has played and stepped in well in this kind of second striker kind of 10 role that he seems to be doing fairly well in as of late. And then Koke has been very strong the past couple games, 3 clean sheets in a row. The thing that's been, to not answer your question, the thing that's going to be the issue, and I think Orange County could take advantage of, is the injuries on that back line. OC's favorite San Diegan, Grant Stoneman, went out injured. Not sure what his likelihood is playing against Orange County. Wasn't quite clear what that knock was. But halfway through the game, or halfway through the second half, San Diego is playing with a back line that's never played together with Camden Riley, Carlos Guzman, a new signee, as well as another new defender. So that's kind of where they're shaky. And I think Orange County can take advantage with those speedy guys on the wing, particularly. That's been a little bit of a weakness for San Diego.
All right. So I guess that means it's my turn to ask a question. So other than the, God, what do you call it, friendly match you guys had against Borussia, that 6-0 side, San Diego's been quite the defensive stalwart. Even though, like you said, there's been a bunch of injuries, how have teams been breaking down San Diego's defense, and is that something that Orange County is capable of, replicating? Words hard.
Yeah, we saw Colorado attempt to do this a little bit last match. Borussia Dortmund was able to take advantage of this. It's kind of ball over the top and beating guys with speed. The defenders are really aggressive and press high, right? Koke comes out as kind of a second center back, if you will, when they have possession. If you look at his heat map from last game, it is pretty insane that his average position is outside of his 18. And so in possession, they do like to press the field forward. So there's a lot of space behind, right? If you can get guys going long, like over the top, especially on the wings, their wing backs like to play high and their three center backs, there's space there either on the wings or if you get them pulled out in their four with Koke as the fourth. There's some openings in the seams of the pitch where I think some of your speedy guys can take advantage. We saw that late in the game with Orange County earlier in the season where the speed on the wings was really dangerous. It led to a, I believe, a free kick that led to a goal. And so that's where San Diego's been able to be taken advantage of. And I think Orange County has some guys that can really do it. Middle of the park is really hard. They like to clog it up. Like I said, they have some really savvy midfielders that can read passes, clog up the middle. And so a lot of teams have been trying to go up and over the top. And from, you know, Borussia Dortmund, that's what they did and put a lot of guys under pressure. And I think Colorado Springs had a couple good looks as well, taking advantage of like a quick attack in transition.
All right. And I got one more for you. So you're not just the average San Diego fan. You also do the USL show. So you can have more insight into other teams in the league. But I'm going to ask you about Orange County. What has impressed you most, or who has impressed you most from Orange County this season?
I mean, the Milan Olasky is like the easy answer, right? That's the guy who can put a team on his shoulders and run, and he's been just as good. I think the Colin Shuttler, his recent form has been really significant for Orange County, and I think a good goalkeeper is what made Orange County's run with Krakowski. And I think Orange County needs a guy like that to solidify that back line, right? And to bail you out if things go wrong. I think those two, I always have love for goalkeeper, especially one that has had some games as that look as good as his. Maybe a little bit more consistency from him would be nice. But when you win 6 out of 7, you know, you gotta, regardless of who you're playing, right? 6 out of 7 is pretty, pretty significant. And yes, I did flinch. Jesus, that guy kicked the ball hard. I didn't realize it was gonna pop up either. But
poor photographer in that situation, though. It looked like hurt.
Yeah, he's from Glory Magazine in the UK. Like, they're from London, and so they had followed the team for a week. And he was out there in just kind of the wrong place, wrong time. I don't think the Colorado Springs guy meant to do it. But yeah, that was catching a stray ball for sure.
It sucks that the guy that did it ran away and there was another teammate that went and just sort of said, sorry about that.
Yeah. I mean, I did like to see that, like at least the acknowledging like, hey, like that, you know. So, and tempers were kind of hot, right? It was a hot day. Colorado Springs are playing really, really well in the second half. Probably deserved to get a goal and make it 1-1. And so it's just frustrating. And so he was frustrated, and, you know, I don't think he was doing anything intentional. So, you know, I think people were really easy to let it go.
Hey, Alan, welcome. Welcome back to the show, man. It's good to have you back. It's nice to have somebody back on here who actually has a real beard. Because you know, we bond over things like this, my brother. So Brad actually stole my question, but I've got a couple of other things. I ain't mad at you, Brad. I still love you. As somebody who is, we're going to say, you know, I will acknowledge that your knowledge on the USL Championship is really high. You got your stuff going on. Who has been the biggest surprise in the USL Championship this season for you as a let's call you an analyst of the league?
Who's been the biggest surprise in the USL?
San Diego, right?
Oh, as far as teams, I mean,
team or player.
I mean, I'll do it. Charleston Battery, the way that they've been able to rebound this year has been pretty nice to see, right? They had a pretty tough year last year, and seeing somebody like an original, one of their OG teams like Orange County, right, when they are not doing as well, it doesn't seem quite as fun in the USL. And so seeing them kind of rebound this year has been really nice. And then as far as a player that's kind of surprised me, I, as much as I don't want to shout out any Phoenix Rising players, they're Rios Novo. I did not think that he would be as good as he was. And he has been, he's been pretty important to that team to make them even somewhat competitive. And so just kind of seeing him play in a way where he looks like a small goalkeeper, but the saves he makes, he's been pretty surprising. As far, you know, the guys you think are going to do well have done well. Gudrum's been kind of a nice piece as well in the East. But that's kind of my answer.
Okay. And one comment I would like to make, San Diego has been playing really, really well lately. Orange County Soccer Club has been playing exceptionally well, arguably the hottest team in the league. But in regards to San Diego playing well, I would just like to point out that everybody who we have played over the last 2 months was playing well until they came to our house or until we went to their house. So I just want you to keep that in mind. And Brad, I'm looking at you right now. No, me and Alan are not betting our beards. Don't ask.
I wasn't going to do that to Alan. I always want to throw you under that bus, but never Alan.
So, Alan, I just want to ask you this because we do have a guest ready to join. Are you needing to head out, or do you want to hang a little bit longer?
I got a hard out at 8:45, so I can hang out for a few more minutes.
That'll be our interview. We'll let you maybe ask a question. Just hopefully they won't this guest won't leak too much information for you to relay over to the San Diego team. But let's welcome on our guest here that's joining us next. Defender, but also always way up on the pitch for Orange County Soccer Club. Probably runs the most of anyone on the team. And that's Mr. Ryan Dogman. Ryan, welcome to the show. Oh, I think you're on mute, Ryan. I don't know if you can figure out how to unmute yourself there.
Yeah. My bad. Here. Thank you. Good to be here.
No, we're excited to have you. I think you're one of the players that we've been hoping to get on this show for a long time, and finally we were able to make it happen. Let me just ask you this question right up, because you seem to be all over the pitch, up and down. You're like up there participating on the offensive part of the game and then having to hustle back on defense. Have you clocked or have you kept track or found out how many miles you run on an average match?
Yeah, we usually have the pods. I'm not sure in miles, but in kilometers, it's usually around 12-13K. There's so many parameters now in the game. You have sprint distance, high intensity. It's a lot of different ones.
Has that always been a big part of your game, is being able to run and run and run and not look tired?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a big part of it. I always feel like the more energy and the more better physique you have, the more runs and the more things you can create. So that's been my view on it.
What do you attribute to the team with their great run of form lately? Obviously, the start of the season probably wasn't anything to be excited about for the players, the coaching staff, the front office. But over the last couple of months, you guys are seeming to gel. The tactics seem to be working right. What do you attribute to that?
Well, we obviously didn't start off the season as we wanted to, as everybody saw. We made some changes, and I really have to give Morten a big praise of how he's really sticking to the process, because we're in a performance and result based business. We get judged every Sunday or Saturday, I mean, and it's it can be hard not to be too affected by it and actually like stick by the process. So I feel like now we're more worried and concerned and more focused about seeing our level increase. And like as a result of a good training week, we will have good results. For me, that's been the biggest thing. Over time, good training weeks, a good culture will give you results for sure.
All right. So, Ryan, Brad, nice to meet you. And you're doing amazing with the team so far this year. But one place when people think of footballing, nobody really thinks of Norway. And you come from what? The second division of Norway. How does a player come from the Norwegian second tier to U.S. second tier? And just tell us a little bit about your experience growing up with football.
Yeah, I've been playing soccer or football since I was a young kid. I played a lot of different sports when I was young. My journey of coming over here was kind of a bit random, actually. I was having a good season. I had a different couple good offers, both in Norway and overseas. And basically, a person, Peter, used to work with, tipped me off to him in the fall. And the club watched a couple of games with me. And then, we got to talking after the season. They laid out both the club, like off the field and on the field, and I like what I hear. And it was a cool opportunity to both experience a new country, also get to live out in Orange County, which is so beautiful. Absolutely fall in love with this place. And the project and the club is very interesting. It's a huge potential here, I would say.
Awesome. Since I stole the question of one of our listeners, I'm going to ask his backup question for you. Normally we wait to ask kind of for a shout out, but what's your favorite restaurant that you've been to or place that you've been to so far while you're down in Orange County?
Oh, it's got to be tough. I've been to quite a couple. If I have to choose one, actually, I think I have to go for Cava. I recently just went there, like 2 weeks ago was my first time there, and I absolutely loved it. I have obviously I'm a vegetarian background, so getting some really good hummus was good for me.
I agree with you. It's a really great place. For those that are unfamiliar, it's like the Chipotle of Mediterranean food. Go and tell them what you want in your mm-hmm. bowl. Or in your pita, and they put it together for you. It's a great place. I love it.
Yeah. So you score a goal to
hold on, Alan. I gotta just remind Ryan. Alan covers San Diego. He knows the team. He knows the players there. Do not divulge any sensitive information to the enemy here at this point. But Alan's a friend of ours, so we'll let him ask the questions.
So you don't want me to ask what is your tactical setup? And no. So you score a goal to bring the team even 3-3 right before halftime in what was that? Where were you? Memphis. Take us through that moment. What was that like scoring your first USL goal? And what did that mean for you and for the team?
At the time it was a weird game for us. It went back and forth. We were talking about it after the game. We didn't even like celebrate the goals properly because we were just like so focused about we need to get back in the game. But looking back at it, it was good to get the record going. I've had a couple goals already on old, so it was good to finally not get one on old.
And it was good because I think that goal
and,
was initially
yeah, the timing of it was very important right before halftime.
Yes, originally it was.
I think so.
Mark doesn't own goal for Memphis. So am I up? Me?
Go for it.
Hey, Ryan, Larry, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. I've got thanks, a few kind of left and right questions here for you. Just in case you're not aware of this fact. You are really damn fast, or you probably are aware. So there was some. I was actually in watching the game on Saturday. I actually was commenting to my fiance. So I wonder who the fastest guy on the team is. So that's question number one. Who is the fastest player on this team? Is it you? Is it Bryce? Is it Correte?
I'm backing myself 100%, and and that one. There's no question to be had.
I absolutely love that kind of confidence. Now, have you heard the chant that the County Line Coalition has done for you?
I have not, actually. I've been looking forward to it.
You have not? Okay, well, are you at all familiar by chance with the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
It sounds very familiar.
Okay.
But I don't think
in our chat, I'm going to put the words to your chant, And I'm going to play this because I got it queued up on my phone so you can hear where this comes from. Can you hear okay?
The evil that was here.
Yeah, I heard.
Okay.
Naturally, for I am the day man.
You once were a boy and now you are a man, and I am in love with you.
That's right. And now I am in love with you. Day man.
Ah, fighter of the night man. Ah, champion of the sun. Ah, you're a master of the body and friendship for everyone. Day man.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Dog man, fighter of the right man. Boy, that man can run. He's a master of defending and friendship for everyone. So we are going to applaud because you have been a wonderful addition to this team, Ryan, and it's a lot of fun watching you play. And one question I always like to ask all of our guests, all the players who come on. You are, I think you're 25, 26?
Yeah, correct, 26. Okay. Just 26.
Happy birthday. When did you feel like, you know what, I'm pretty damn good at this. I think maybe I can make a living and get a paycheck playing a game, doing something that's this much fun professionally.
I grew up doing a lot of different sports and I was excelling in a couple of ones. I think it was around like 14, 15, I just decided like, I cut off and put the other sports aside and just like focused on soccer. And I don't know, I kind of just like made up my mind and I put my like my focus or just like laser focused on it. And I made like plans and goals, both short term and long term. And it kind of just clicked all the way. The first time just like getting the feeling of, yeah, I can absolutely do this was probably like when I was like around 16, 17, and I was getting some good compliments and good words after training with a team and from a really good coach. So that's just like reassured me. And then I started playing professionally at 18. So I don't know, it kind of went fast until like really set my mind to it, because up until I was like, obviously I was playing it every day and enjoying it, but I didn't like really like, okay, I'm gonna really go for this, like until 14, 15, I think.
And those other sports that you talked about that you played, how many of them involved skis and or ice skates?
Not as many, actually. I only ski and ice skate like on when I get back home. Obviously every vacation we have to do it. It's impossible to live in Norway without going on ski trips or ice skating. So that's a mandatory activity over there. But no, I was more into all the ball sports, to be honest.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, let me just jump in really quick. And I don't know if you were going to mention this, but word is that you were really good at table tennis. What made you pick soccer over table tennis?
It's a good question. I just a love for it. I found it more fun. Also, the whole process around it with table tennis, it's all, as in soccer, it's a lot of repetition, a lot of training, but it was inside all the time. Like, the people actually don't understand like how much of a repetition, how much training it takes like to compete in table tennis. We're talking like 12 hours a day. It's insane. So I don't know, it was more fun playing soccer, being outside in the sun, enjoying it in a different way, kind of. So yeah, I would just say the love for it.
Sorry, go ahead, Larry, if you had another question.
No, I'm good. I just want to say it's been this season, Ryan, it's been an absolute joy watching you run up and down the pitch and what you've been doing for this team. And, man, keep on doing what you're doing because the fans are loving it. I know us here on the show, we talk about you every week. Just keep it, and we will all be extremely happy at the end of the season, I think.
We definitely will. Let me ask you this, Ryan, because everyone knows I'm a huge music buff here. I like to ask this question to all the players is whatever type of music service you use to listen to music, whether it's Spotify, Apple, or, hey, old school with, you know, LPs or cassettes or you know, CDs. If you were to, like, open up your music player right now, what question or what song would be playing on your Spotify account?
This song it is. Wonder Child by Christian Waltz.
I will be honest, I don't think I've heard of that. Larry looks like he knows that. Larry,
it's an old banger. Yes. It's really good. Yeah, I think you would like it.
And then my other question would be if you had to go you know, sing a song at karaoke or something like that, what's the song you're picking to sing?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm a big fan of karaoke. It has some really fun nights. I had some really good nights at karaoke. It depends. I don't know if you know this, but it's a really known tradition in soccer. When you go to a new team, you have to sing a song for the whole squad. I think this is all around the world. I haven't heard about one country doesn't do it. Actually, a fun story. Me, Marcus, and Owen, we kind of set up a bit of a show, and we did Don't Stop Believing by Journey, and we had Marcus was starting it off, and then when the second verse came up, Owen stood up and everybody was just shocked, and on the third verse I stood up.
You did the high part, Ryan. You did the really high part then.
Yeah, I did the high part for sure. We worked so much on it though. It was funny.
Sparky actually posted a bit of that on Instagram, so most of us have seen that, and it was
that's cool.
It was entertaining. It was definitely entertaining.
So we got to ask you one more music question, and we've had a few other players come on here, and we've asked them this question: who has the best taste in music, and who has the worst taste in music on this on the team, in your opinion?
Oh, in my opinion, I have to give. Owen will get the best taste. We drive a lot together to training, so we always listen to a lot of music together. I have to give that to Owen. We have very similar music taste, so I'm kind of backing myself to there. But yeah, Owen for sure. Oh, worst music taste is tough. That is a really tough one. I might have to give it to Thomas because Thomas Among. He took the aux one time and he played the same song 12 times in a row.
Do you even know what song it was?
Was it a good song?
It was a good song. I know it's a French song. It's very good. But about maybe the fourth, fifth time, I was like, Thomas, you can't be serious, man.
All right. Well, speaking of very serious questions, we got one more that our counterpart Dylan typically gets the honor of asking since it's his favorite question. But that question I'm sure the players have prepared you for is, what is your favorite vegetable and how do you prepare it?
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this question. I thought I was going to have a bit of a hard time choosing, but it's got to be avocado for sure. It's got to be avocado, and I mash it like a good guacamole. And if it wasn't avocado, it would be peppers, red peppers. I enjoy that a lot.
There we go.
Well, but, I hate to break it to you. Both of those are actually fruits.
Don't say it.
No, really? That's awful. All right, I will then.
But I'll give you credit.
Can't be. Cauliflower can't be. Like the white broccoli, cauliflower?
That is a vegetable.
Yeah.
And how do you prepare it?
Yeah, not boiled, but like cooked in a pan with a bit of oil, like a bit like browned, if that's the way to say it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And a bit crisp. Yeah, that can be really good.
Don't worry, Ryan, because there's been plenty of players that have come on and mentioned some fruits as their favorite vegetables. So you're not the first one to do so. You probably won't be the last. And I think, hey, when you go to the supermarket, avocados are sitting there right next to some of the other vegetables. So it's an obvious, easy mistake to make with that. And even the peppers, like you mentioned. So, Ryan, any message for the fans that may be traveling down to San Diego to support you guys as you face the Loyal this coming weekend?
Just a big praise. The last two home games have been amazing from you guys. It's been, we got to be honest, it's been so much more fun playing at home because of the because of the energy you guys been providing. So that's been amazing. It's like we've been on the road now for 3 weeks straight, and then coming home, and we've been so excited to come home. It's been like a release of energy, and I know everybody feels the same. So just continue doing what you've been doing the last couple of home games, and so we're going to go down to San Diego and get 3 points there, and then we're going to be home for two home games in a row, and that's going to be great. So now that's the message. Just keep showing up, keep singing, and keep believing, and hopefully we'll have a great fall.
No, awesome. We're looking forward to it. I know there's a lot of fans planning on making that trip down there. We're ready to support you guys and be loud there in hostile territory. Everyone, that's Orange County defender, all over the pitch player, Ryan Dogman. As always, Ryan, thank you for joining us. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Thank you very much. And yeah, I'm hoping it'll be a fun trip down for those fans planning on making the trip down south to San Diego. It's always a great
why are you making away match. Faces, Brad?
Here, because he was the big face on the screen. I want to say this really quick. For those that don't really listen to sports talk radio, there's AM 570, LA Sports. There's Petros and Money Show. They're the afternoon drive home show. Petros Papadakis and Matt Money Smith. And they like to play this clip from, I think it's an old movie, Dog Man, and it's like something they do pretty much quite a bit. And I've spammed them a little bit trying to say, hey, you like Dog Man so much, pay attention to Orange County Soccer Club. We've got our own Dog Man. We've got Ryan Dog Man on the team. I haven't gotten a response yet. So I'm going to urge all you Orange County supporters, fans, friends, let's spam the PMS show, PMS on AM 570, Matt Money Smith, Petros Papadakis. Let's get them to recognize Ryan Dog Man and pay attention to this team. It would be a great way to support this team. And maybe it just will intrigue them because they are intrigued and they love Dog Men. So let's do this. We didn't get to our predictions or our stats after we were talking about the New Mexico win, and we didn't make predictions after previewing San Diego. So let's get into that right now. Let's see where our stats are right now or where everyone's standing. Brad, go for it.
All right. Well, I'll wait for those to pop up on the screen real quickly. Pretty good week for a lot of us. I believe the statistic was 70-something percent of us picked an Orange County, maybe even 80-something percent picked an Orange County victory. And only a couple of people picked a draw. Actually, I'm wrong. It's 93.6%. So everybody going into the New Mexico game was very optimistic about an Orange County victory, as the stats show up on the screen. There you go. 93% of people thought a win was going to happen. As for actual stats, only one person projected a 1-0 victory with a Milan Olasky opening goal, and that was Lucas, who's sitting at 33 points. And overall, Taylor is still kicking butt and taking names. So if you're trying to take this seriously, you have Taylor to catch.
There's a reason Taylor was a professional player at one point, and she's really good at soccer. So she knows her soccer knowledge is vast compared to especially the three of us on the show tonight. No disrespect to you, Larry or Brad. But hey, I'm at least in third place at this point. I'm actually beating Larry now. That's a shocker. Go, Larry.
Please let me add that for 6 straight weeks, I have guessed seven straight weeks, I have guessed the same score, and we have won 6 of those games. Want to take a guess what I'm going to predict for this week's game?
Go for it, Larry. What's your prediction for this week's game?
2-0 San Diego.
And who is the first? Oh, wait, there's going to be no goal scored.
There's going to be no goal scored.
Oh, see, man.
I started doing that. I talked about it earlier. 60 days ago, I was bitter and angry. So that's what I started predicting, and then they started winning. How can I possibly change it now? Can't do it.
There we go. So there's Larry's prediction. By the way, if anyone wants to share what their predictions are going to be, throw it in the comments. We can share them on the screen. Brad, what is your prediction for this upcoming match?
This is one of those games that if we come out of this with a draw, I don't think any of the three of us are going to be complaining. And with how both teams are playing, I think it's still safe to say that Orange County 2-1. And first goal scorer being Milan. I'm going to go back to Milan.
Perfect. My prediction for this match is going to be a 3-1 Orange County victory over San Diego with Ryan Dogman scoring for Orange County the first goal. Let's get into this. Some quick random thoughts before we wrap things up on this episode. I'll go to you first, Larry. Random thought.
Oh, man. Random thought. I have discovered the beauty of an Irish whiskey old fashioned. They are delicious and they are strong, and one is plenty. Thank you very much.
But you should do three or four just for the fun of it. that would be, I'd love to see three or four old fashions into the show, Larry, at the end of the episode. Brad, what's your random thought?
All right. So my random thought, Dylan did music. Did books and literature, and you do music. I'm going to take a page out of your book. I'm starting to collect some vinyl, and I found this guy, The Who's Tommy, in the record store for $15. It's used, and the album cover's been a little bit beaten up, but that's my album of the week. I love Tommy and The Who in general, and although that's not necessarily all my taste in music, that album has a very special place in my heart because it's one of my dad's favorites from The Who.
Be honest, Brad, like Alan's background is what inspired you to look for the LP, right? Like, and reference that, or no, you didn't even notice Alan's background.
No, not at all.
Alan had a bunch of LPs in the background. I was about to ask him how many of those he has. Not you, no, Larry, Alan. The other.
I have a record player sitting on the area next to me, and I just have a bunch of records strewn out. That's just the one that I wanted to share this week.
Awesome. My random thought is actually going to be related to this upcoming match. I want to see as many Orange County fans making the trip down to San Diego. I know the club has released their ticket options and even a bus option for those of you that don't want to make the drive or don't want to have to deal with driving after you've been drinking at a soccer match. So go and, I believe you can get that information on the social medias or even on the Orange County website. I'm planning on making the trip down there with my family, and I'm sending the invite to some friends and, other soccer people that I know. Hopefully we can get a good turnout there, and let's be loud in San Diego. Larry, are you making the trip?
I do not know yet. It all depends on if I'm going to be on a baseball field or not. I won't know that until probably Wednesday.
Skip stickball and come to San Diego, and Brad, somehow make the trip down to San Diego. Let's make this thing wild, for Orange County. I'm joking. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, but, hopefully, I get to see many of you at the match in San Diego cheering on Orange County, and let's make it a good one there. I want to thank our good friend and former host of the show, Alan, for taking some time and joining us, miss that guy and love whenever he gets a chance to make it on the show. Alan, you're welcome back anytime. You're sort of an honorary member of the show. So just let us know whenever you have free time to come talk with us. Also, Ryan Dogman from Orange County for jumping on here. Don't forget Spam, PMS, Petros and Money, Matt Money Smith, Petros Papadakis, and let's get them talking about Orange County because of Dogman. All you listeners, thank you for listening. We appreciate the support and you listening and commenting on the show. For Brad, for Larry, for Taylor and Dylan who couldn't make it tonight, and for our producer Andy, my name's Ray. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out.